Well, you missed it. On September 5th, the State Fair had one of the biggest spectacles that Minnesota has ever seen. On one side of the grandstand, engineer Harry Tatum from Invergrove threw the throttle wide open on old engine number 478, and then he leapt clear of the tracks. At the other end, the 60-ton engine 573 was already racing towards them. The 55,000 fans in the grandstand waited in anticipation for the tremendous crash that would happen. There was a huge explosion, and these two steam engines ripped each other apart, and pieces went flying everywhere. The fans poured out of the stands, down onto the area in front of the track, and they grabbed any piece that was small enough to carry away to take home as a souvenir. And you missed it. You missed it because that was September 5th of 1920, not of 2020. You also missed that year that both presidential candidates were there, from both the Republican and the Democratic candidates. And most special of all, Ruth Law's Flying Circus was there. And this was aerial acrobats, and one of the things that they did was Al Wilson, at 2,000 feet in the air, stood up on top of the wing of one plane, and when the other plane flew over, he reached up, grabbed onto that plane, and swung himself up into the next plane. That actually got top billing over the train wreck. Now, you might have guessed I'm a State Fair fanatic. I have been ever since I was 12 years old and won my first trip to the Great Minnesota Get-Together. As a 4-H'er, I got to live there in the 4-H building. I don't know if you know that, but the upper floors of the 4-H building held dormitory kinds of things. They put hundreds of people in a room and in endless rows of bunks. And I got there by winning at the county level, and I won those trips every year that when I was a kid up until I graduated from high school. And all the memories I have, memories of not only sleeping in the 4-H building, but winning a championship with my rabbit, or demonstrating to the fair crowds how to cook with weeds. That's weeds, as in garden weeds, not weed. Different era. And I wouldn't be the pastor that I am today without those experiences at the State Fair, because I never would have gained the confidence to speak in front of others if I hadn't gone through those experiences at the State Fair. I never would have dared to respond to God's call. And you may have your own fair memories, maybe the giant slide or a grandstand show, perhaps your favorite fair food, Pronto Pups, or is it corn dogs? The Great Minnesota Get-Together has always been a wonderful way to wrap up the end of the summer. But this year, there's no fair. And it's no fair. After all we've missed out on graduations and weddings and family reunions and school and sports and work, to take away the Great Minnesota Get-Together just seems so unfair. But life isn't fair. It's unfair that we weren't around in 1920 to see the train crash or the flying daredevils, but it's also unfair that people get sick. It's unfair that the businesses close, that kids can't go to school like normal. It's unfair when persons of color are mistreated, or when you are judged by what others have done and not by who you are. It's unfair that some go hungry. It's unfair that COVID leaves some without even any symptoms and others it kills. It's unfair that we don't have the State Fair. Life is hard, even for Christians. And it isn't always fair. And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if it's for this life only that we have hope in Christ, then we are of all people most to be pitied. Life isn't fair, even for Christians. And there will always be things that we miss out on in this life. Sometimes even the state fair. But the Bible promises an even greater get-together than the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The Bible promises a get-together that will never be canceled and will put our state fair to shame. We're just going to read a few of those descriptions here. We're going to start with the 7th chapter of Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels are standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." And then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, where did they come from? And who are they?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who've come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye." In this great get-together, it's not just Minnesotans. It's people from every nation, tribe, language. And there's no blazing late Minnesota summer heat to create the great Minnesota sweat together. And there is no pouring rain on the one day that you can go to the fair. For God will shelter God's people. And there'll be no hunger that needs to be satisfied with a 2-gallon bucket of fries, or thirst that needs to be quenched with an endless all-you-can-drink milk. And you won't need to go down to the sheep barn to see a lamb, because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, will be there. God will be there and lead us to springs of water, and God will wipe away every tear that 2020 has brought. When I first went to the state fair, I had no clue about how big and wonderful it would be. The biggest fair I'd been to was the Dakota County Fair in Farmington. And, I mean, it was good at the time. It was there I had my first taco, so you can tell how long ago that was. But you can see that a Dakota County Fair in half a day, or if you're like Tammy, half an hour. We have different pacing when we go to fairs together. But when we got to the state fair, it was more than I could ever imagined. And sleeping in the 4-H building and being there 3 or 4 days at a time, all I had was an hour or two that I would do a demonstration or exhibit one of my projects. The rest of it was free time. Hours and hours of free time to explore the fair. And so I discovered all sorts of little things. I discovered an arcade game that was, at that time, already 50 years old. So you could still play it with a nickel, which came in handy since I didn't have all that much money at that time. Still don't have money to play all those games. I discovered the Union Building, where they were giving demonstrations on making, decorating cakes. And at the end of the demonstration, they would draw from the crowd that was there a name who would get the cake. And I remember the first time I won and getting that cake. I had 3 brothers. We shared everything. And now I had a whole sheet cake to myself, and this was pre-diabetes. So, and I discovered how you could cool off by sitting by the ye old mill, or how you can go to the Culligan building and get free cold water. And you could learn how to milk a cow, down at the dairy barn. All those things, so much more, and so much to marvel at. It was beyond what I could imagine. And every year it was something new, and yet there was always my old favorites too. And you know, in a way, that's what's in store for us in heaven too. More than we can imagine. Now, of course, a lot of us wonder exactly what it's going to be like. Give us all the details. And so we comb through the Bible and trying to find every little thing that can give us a hint. And we hear in John 14 how Jesus describes it as, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms or many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you." And we wonder, well, what's the room going to be like? What's the mansion going to be like? And in addition to Revelation 7 and talking of the great multitude, we find other descriptions in Revelation. In Revelation 21, we find the new heaven and the new earth and ultimately the resurrection of the dead that is our hope. Let me read just a few verses from there, 21. "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" Goes on to describe that New Jerusalem. Describes it as streets of gold and precious pearls, precious stones that make up the walls of the city. There's rubies and emeralds and sapphires. And of course, there's the pearly gates. And then in Revelation 22, it talks about the crystal streams and the tree of life that is the original fruit of the month club. Because every month, the tree produces a different fruit for every month of the year. All sorts of images from Scripture. And by the way, there's no image in Scripture of us sitting on clouds with harps and wings and halos. That's not actually a scriptural picture. But we want more, so we create these other pictures and we try to find it any way we can. We'll read books about somebody who had a near-death experience, and we'll listen to people who make conjectures about what it might actually be like and whether the streets are real gold or if they just look like gold. And if they're real gold, then how much would they be worth with our record price of gold per ounce that we currently have? We want these details. We want to know everything. And of course, we want to know, what is Jesus going to serve at the great banquet? Because Jesus talks about the great banquet. So are there going to be all of our favorites there? Will he have Pronto Pups? We want those details. And to be honest, I don't really know all those details. No one really does. You see, our understanding is limited. We're earthly people. We only understand earthly things. And the Bible's big promise, the Bible's big prize, is not gold and pearls and Pronto Pups. No, the Bible's big promise is that God will be there to welcome us home. That we will be in the presence of the Lord. And that is what makes it such a great get-together. All the other stuff, that's just window dressing. It's the fact that we're with God that makes it beyond comparison. In God's great get-together, there are going to be people, well, like at the state fair. Every time I go to the state fair, I run into somebody I know. I might not see them for an entire year in town, but I get to the state fair and I run into them. And that's going to be, it'll be like that. But also at the state fair, there are thousands of others that I've never met. But when we come together, it's like we're a family. And we're laughing and we're eating and we're listening to music together. And it's going to be somewhat like that in God's great gathering. But best of all is that God will be there, sheltering us with God's presence, leading us to springs of living water, and wiping away every tear from an often hard and unfair world. We will be together with God. And that's what makes it heaven. Life may not be fair, but God is good. And God is waiting to welcome us to the greatest get-together of all. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, as we think about life and its difficulties, it's hard sometimes. But you remind us that your view is longer than ours. You have an eternal view. And we can only imagine what heaven would be like, or what it would be like to be in your presence, really. We get little hints of it from the things we see in this world, but we know to be with you will be beyond our wildest dreams. So thank you, God. Thank you for the hope that you've given us. Thank you for the promise you've given us. Thank you that when we gather like this, with people that we know well and people that we don't know at all, but when we gather around to worship you, we experience in just a little way the glorious promise of your great get-together. Amen.